Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of Delay, Don't Deny, Living an Intermittent Fasting Lifestyle. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting, after learning how to delay my eating rather than deny myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here, so let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 96 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with a very special guest. His name is Dr. Gil Blander. Dr. Blander is the founder and chief scientific officer for Inside Tracker, and he is internationally recognized for his research in the biology of aging. Welcome, Gil.
Welcome, and I'm very happy to join you, Jen.
I'm thrilled to talk to you today because your research interests are right up my alley, and I'm just passionate about us figuring out what works for our unique bodies and the whole idea that we are not one size fits all. You would probably agree with me that this is the future of what we're going to do in healthcare.
Definitely, I will agree with you. I think that it's something that we're going to make a revolution in our life. And currently, only the pioneers doing that, but very soon everyone will have his own personalized nutrition plan.
I love it. Tell us about your background and research interests and how you came into this field.
Sure. So from a very young age, I was fascinated by the aging process. And the reason for that was that a relative of mine passed when I was 12. And instead of being sad about her passing away, I was basically worried about myself because I realized that I won't live forever. So at that time, I decided that I will dedicate my life to study aging. So that's why I studied biology. I done my PhD at the Weizmann Institute of Science. And then I moved to Boston and done my PhD at the lab of Lenny Garante, a focus on aging research. During that time, I also was exposed to a lot of intermittent fasting and other studies that we done mainly in model organism. And I assume that we'll discuss it later. When I arrived to MIT, I also started to be exposed to the environment of Kendall Square, which is the area at Boston or at Cambridge that MIT is located, which have thousands of companies, high-tech, biotech, pharmaceutical. And I started to realize that there are a lot of interesting research going there that might be exciting for me. So I decided instead of becoming a professor in the industry, I wanted to start my own company that maybe will help people to live a longer, better life. And that's basically was the genesis of the company Insight Tracker. I assume that we'll discuss it later, so I don't want to get too deep about that. But I founded the company almost 11 years ago. And what we are trying to do is allow everyone to live a longer, better life based on what's happening inside their body.
Well, I love that. And I think that all of us who are intermittent fasters, most of us, many of us, I'll say, I won't say most, I'll say many of us came to intermittent fasting because we heard it might help us lose a few pounds. You know, as I talked about with you before we began recording, I lost over 80 pounds and have been able to keep it off for 5 years now. But once we came to intermittent fasting, we realized, wow, this is really a health plan with a side effect of weight loss. So when did you begin fasting yourself? How long have you been doing it? Tell us about your own fasting journey a bit.
Sure. So I started my intermittent fasting, I would say, maybe 8 years ago. And that was based on the research that I done at MIT and later on at the research that we have done at Insight Tracker, which I realized that there are a lot of benefit for intermittent fasting. I can discuss it more, but I assume that I can discuss it also later.
Yeah, let's talk about it now. Talk about some of those benefits because people are excited. Some of us that started it for the weight loss didn't understand. When I started it first, I just thought of it as, hey, this is just a way for me to eat less food and lose weight. I didn't really understand that there was so much more going on in our bodies. So my audience is, of course, going to be very interested to hear about the science part of it. And you are just really poised to tell us more about it than I even could, of course. So what was the research? What pulled you in? What was just made you say, yes, this is something I'm going to do?
So I think that it started in the 1930s when researchers actually took rats and basically caloric restrict them. So he cut the amount of calories of the rats by 30 to 50%. And then he realized that actually those rats can live up to 50% longer. But nobody understood why and how. And then in the last, I think the big push happened in the last couple of decades, that a lot of research was done on mice, on fish, on worms, on yeast, and even on monkeys, that showed that when you intermittent fast those or cut the calories of those model organism, you can increase the lifespan of those model organism by up to 50%. So I came to intermittent fasting more as I want to live forever than to lose weight. Luckily enough, I succeed to manage my weight using nutrition and exercise, and I haven't had to use this tool, which is an amazing tool, and I agree with you that intermittent fasting is one of the best tools to lose weight, but for me personally, that wasn't the reason. So especially when I came to MIT, and that was in 2002, we started to do a specific research at the lab with mainly mice. At that time, what I knew is you need to do caloric restriction. So intermittent fasting wasn't the way that we used it. Basically, what we done is we went down. Usually, the animal room is in the basement of the building. I don't know why. So you go down in the elevator to the basement. And then you house each mice in one cage. Instead of usually you house like 5 mice in a cage, you house only 1 mice in a cage. And then you need to weigh the food for these mice, and they give him like, I don't know, 30 to 50% less food. And when you do that, you see that the mice are jumping on the food and maybe finishing the food in 10 minutes because they're so hungry. And you do it every day. Basically, it's a lot of work for the scientists because you need every day to come there, a weekend, weekday, holidays, someone needs to come there, weigh the food, give them the food, and it's a lot of work. And then once a scientist was a bit lazier, and he said, hey, maybe we should just give them more food, but feed them instead of every day, let's feed them every other day.
Oh, that is great. I love this, hearing this story, because is that really the genesis of every other day fasting?
I'm not sure, but I'm telling you the story.
Okay,
from my,
I love it.
My
okay.
These scientists said, hey, as human beings, we are always lazy and we're trying to do the easier intervention that we can. So go down to the elevator and you need to put, you know, all the gear or all the coat and the glasses and the cover your shoes. It's a lot of work. So these scientists found that actually when you give them much more food but feed them every other day, you see the same effect related to longevity. So basically they still live 30% longer. So then everyone say, hey, why should we? Not everyone, but a lot of the experiment moved to basically feeding the mice every other day. Then you also can save a lot of money, because instead of housing each house in its own cage, you house, let's say, four or five mice in a cage. And you get charged by the university by the number of cages, not by the number of mice. So basically, you also save a lot of money for the lab. So that was the, let's say, the genesis for me for every other day fasting or intermittent fasting. But I also started to look at the effect in human. And actually, there are a lot of, not a lot, but there are some nice research about the effect in human.
You know, a lot of that is based on the Ramadan fasting, right? We have the human side of things with people who are fasting for Ramadan.
Yeah, correct. That is more, let's say, observational study. But some scientists, especially what I know is from the USDA, and I know that the USDA done a study for, I think, like 2 or 3 years. And basically, it was a pretty good study, control study, two groups. One group fed as normal, and the other group, they cut the calorie around 20 or 25% of the normal diet. And they obviously seen what you have seen. They've seen that they lost weight, but also them and others seen a lot of other effects that are very exciting for me. So I'm very happy that everyone is excited about weight loss, but the weight loss, I would call it the phenotype, basically what you see with your eyes. It's very important for me to see also what's happening inside your body, or let's take selfie from the inside, okay? And when you look at that as a scientist, we could find a lot of markers that show that actually intermittent fasting doing good for your body. So I can give you an example. The glucose level or fasting glucose level is going down. And as I'm sure that you and your audience know, glucose is very important to our metabolism, but it's super important to maintain the low glucose, because if you have a high glucose, it make a lot of tension on your pancreas that create the insulin. And then an effect of that in the long term, you can become diabetic.
So, yeah. So over time, fasting makes your blood glucose go down to levels that are a nice, healthy, steady state.
Correct. That's a huge effect. And then not surprisingly, so if you look at glucose, you can look at the glucose now, or you can look at the glucose after overnight fasting. But there is another marker that called hemoglobin A1C. If I'm trying to explain it simply, it's basically showed the average of the level of your glucose in the last 90 days. And the reason for that is that our red blood cells are regenerate every 90 days. And we are looking actually at a modification on the red blood cells, that they become modified using sugar on them. And because they live only 90 days, you can see how much glycolated A1C you have. And that's a very strong measurement of a diabetic, but also it's a strong measurement of the level of your glucose over the long term. And again, as data in the literature show that intermittent fasting or caloric restriction can decrease the A1C. So those two are related to glucose. But you have a lot of other markers like lipids, like triglycerides, LDL and HDL. Also a marker like of inflammation, such as hsCRP, which is high sensitivity C-reactive protein, or C-reactive protein, which is a global marker of inflammation that's going down, which is great. Inflammation is pretty bad, and we want to have it as little as possible. There are other markers that are interesting that are showing effect, like a marker called DHEAS, which is a precursor of hormones. So there are a lot of very good effect of intermittent fasting on blood biomarkers, which is, as you can hear, I'm very passionate about. But there are other effects that are not less important, such as decrease your blood pressure. Blood pressure is also very important. So I think that
What is nice about the intermittent fasting that it's looks like maybe even as a drug in a way, or not, it's not a drug, but a wonder intervention. They're doing so many good things at once.
That's what I think too. For all the people who start intermittent fasting for weight loss, they may not find that the weight loss is quick. That's something, you know, we're used to, you know, these fad diets. They promise you're going to lose a ton of weight. Intermittent fasting is not always quick for someone. Like, let's say someone has really high glucose levels and they have a high A1C and they're diabetic or pre-diabetic. And it may take them time to see their bodies heal with the intermittent fasting. And so one of the things that's saddest to me as someone in the intermittent fasting community is when someone says, oh, I started, I haven't lost any weight, so I don't think intermittent fasting is, quote, working. And what we like to tell people is, well, it's working deep in your body in ways you may not be able to see yet, but you need to give it time. What would you tell those people who may think, gosh, I haven't dropped a lot of weight quickly, it must not be working? What would you tell them?
Yeah, I think that that's a great point. And actually, last October, I went to a scientific conference and I heard a great presentation about intermittent fasting. This scientist, what she done is she's basically compared, let's say, every other day fasting versus time-restricted feeding. So time-restricted feeding is usually, it's called, I don't know, 16-8 or, I don't know, 18-6. Basically, either 16 hours or 18 hours you are fasting, and then between 8 to 6 hours you have a feeding period. And then you have the every other day. You can eat as much as you want in one day. Again, don't go and become a pig. And then the other day it's completely fasting. And what she said, that when she looked at the data, which was a real clinical trial, that was a very impressive data, she said that both of them had a pretty similar effect. What she has seen, that she has seen a much more dropout in the population that tried the every other day fasting, because it was much harder for them to accumulate for that. Everyone that got to the 2-week mark, basically done it for 2 weeks, they continued to go with that, and that was okay with them. But there was a period of around 2 weeks for the every other day fasting that it was very hard for a population to do it. She looked at it similarly to you, mainly in the weight loss angle. So that was one group. The other group that done 16-8 or 18-6, she said that it was much easier for them to start it. And they basically, after a week, they got into that pretty easy. And I want to tell you that that's what I'm doing. So for me, the time-restricted feeding is pretty easy. It's my lifetime. And it's like, I don't think about it even. It's like my clock is already set for that. And it's not a big deal for me. It's like part one intervention that's doing so much for my body. So I'm saying, yeah, it's great to do it.
Yep. So you follow time-restricted feeding. So do I. We also call that the eating window approach casually in our communities. I tend to have, I'm a pretty short eating window. My eating window could be anywhere from 2 to 6 hours, just depending on how busy I am, what I'm doing that day. How long is your typical window?
What I'm trying to do is I'm not eating dinner after 7. For sure, not eating anything before 10. I'm trying to push it even to noontime. Like today, it was 11. And there are some days that I'm so busy, so I'm even skipping on lunch. Some days I'm busy and maybe I ate my breakfast earlier, like 10, so then I might skip dinner. On those days, again, it's an anecdote and I'm a scientist, so I don't want to quote me in the world, but at the days that I'm skipping my dinner, I see a decrease of 2 pounds of my weight in the day after. And I'm doing it like once a week or so. So it's really interesting, and again, I haven't done any study about that, but it's really interesting that when I'm pushing breakfast late and skipping dinner, I can lose a day later around a couple of pounds, which is, I don't know, it's interesting.
Yeah, people are always looking for ways to tweak their window so it works best for them. And also that scale is a great motivator for people in the community, which is true. I love the what you talked about from the presentation, that it took people a couple of weeks to fully adjust to the every other day pattern. Anyone who's trying that method out, be aware it's going to take a while.
I want to get back to, you know, you were comparing the time-restricted feeding to the every other day. Did they find any differences long-term in the populations who did one versus the other?
As much as I remember, they haven't seen any big difference, like statistically significant difference. And I think that they mainly measure weight loss. If I recall correctly, it was in October. I think that they've seen also effect on, they looked also on the lipids, so they've seen effect on LDL. But I think that it was pretty comparable, and I think everyone should choose the method that is good for him. Also, for me, I'm not doing the time-restricted fasting every day. Like the weekend, if I'm going for a party, or if in the weekend I'm planning to go for a long-term cycling, like cycling for a few hours, I will eat earlier because it's very important to supply fuel for your body. So, the data from the literature actually show that even if you don't do it every day, it's okay. So it's okay to cheat once in a while. You don't have to do it 7 days a week, 360 a day. You can once in a while go out of it, and that's fine.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's a lifestyle, but we have special occasions, so you don't have to think of it as, wow, I cheated. It's just really, you know, today I'm having a longer eating window. Maybe it's 12 hours today, you know, and that's okay. You're living your life, and we don't want to feel like it's a prison sentence because it has to be a flexible, enjoyable lifestyle. So does everybody at the Inside Tracker office, does everybody do intermittent fasting?
Not everybody. So we are, it's interesting, we have a diverse a team of players. We have a lot of athletic active people. So we have a few marathon runners. And I think that someone like that, and they are mainly running in the morning. So for those guys, it's pretty hard to do it. So if you ask me what population I want recommend to do intermittent fasting, is someone that exercise a lot and they exercise in the immediately after finishing or during the window of fasting, because at the end of the day, after an hour of exercise, you need some new fuel, and if not, you will make damage to your body. We also have a few that are more like strength people that are doing CrossFit and other, but we have a few people that are fasting. We have a team member that actually is now doing a few 1 week fast, so it's really exciting to see his result. He done the 1 week fast, and he tested before and after, and it's interesting to see what is the effect of on his biomarker. It's really fascinating.
That is fascinating. We don't have a lot of science on longer fasts. What happens? Are y'all studying like metabolic rate and all of that as well?
So he mainly looked at his biomarkers level. So in InstaTracker, we have a panel of 40-something blood biomarkers. So we basically tested before and then after. And it was very interesting to see the effect on and you can see the effect on the metabolic-related markers. You can see how the triglycerides rate is going down. I think that actually went up because you don't have enough glucose. But you can see a lot of changes that are really interesting following the week of fasting. It's really fascinating.
We do actually see in our community people who start intermittent fasting do find their cholesterol while they're actively losing a lot of fat. They will see cholesterol go up just because they're losing so much fat. So yeah, that is something we see. And people are like, oh no, my cholesterol went up. It's long term we see beneficial effects. But in the short term, people are often surprised by that.
Correct. And for example, why the triglycerides are going up is because you don't have enough glucose in your body. So the liver sends some triglycerides to compensate for that. But definitely, I agree with you. The long-term effects are very good. And actually, I encourage your listener to test and see, because I agree with you. We need more data. And there is a lot of data in the model organism, not enough in humans.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that more is going to come. Intermittent fasting is everywhere now. I'm sure you saw the article in the New England Journal of Medicine that came out end of December. Dr. Mark Mattson's team reviewed intermittent fasting and the research on it. And so doctors are really interested in how can I use intermittent fasting with my patients that I have right now, my patients with type 2 diabetes, my patients with fatty liver, things like that. What health conditions would you say that intermittent fasting is really, really great for?
I think that, again, I'm not a physician. I have a PhD in biology, so I'm not trying or claiming to practice medicine. I think that for healthy people is definitely good, and someone that would like to lose weight. It should work for everyone, but consult with your physician, because your physician knows your best, and theoretically it should work for a diabetic. But I think that the best is to consult with the physician and do it together with him and under the control, and maybe you will need to adjust the amount of insulin that you inject, or I don't know what. So again, theoretically, on the paper, based on the research and the literature, it should work, but talk with your physician and do it together with him.
Yep, I agree 100%. You don't want to go off on your own and start changing things up, and that could be dangerous. You're right. Now, let's talk about personalized nutrition a little bit. For listeners who have read my second book, Feast Without Fear, I talked about this. I wrote that book in 2017. I came across an interview. Well, no, it was a TED Talk. It was a TED Talk by Dr. Aaron Segal. And he was talking about how we have a personalized glycemic response, and it's based on our genetics, it's based on our gut microbiome. And that TED Talk really just blew my mind, because I've read diet books my whole life. I struggled with my weight, and every diet claimed to be the one best diet for all people. And so I would try low fat, I would try low carb, I would try high fat. You know, I just kept trying different things. A friend might have really good results on one approach, whereas I had the opposite results. It didn't work for me. And so the whole concept that we're different when it comes to what foods work for us was new to me. And I think people are starting to understand this more, but can you talk about that scientifically?
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with you, Jim. So personalized nutrition is basically the definition for that, in my way, is let's understand what's happening inside your body. And then based on that, let's fit for you the best diet that is good for you. So as you said, we have a few diets like the keto diet and the high carb, high fat, low fat, high protein, low protein. Some people say, hey, it's good for everyone. It's good for subpopulation. And in order to know what is good for you, you need to understand better what's happening inside your body. So what we are doing at InstaTracker, and what actually the literature is saying, because us and other published papers that show that if you know exactly what's happening inside your body, and then you assign for a specific person a specific food that is good for him, and then you combine all the, in our case, it was more than 1,000 subjects. You combine all of them and look at the effect on the blood biomarkers, as I discussed before, glucose and cholesterol and the inflammation markers and other. You can see that when you do it in a personalized way, you can see a very nice effect on those blood biomarkers. So basically, you can improve how you look from the inside just by knowing what's happening in your side at the starting point, and giving you an intervention that is good for you. And I can give you an example. A lot of people are saying that a high-fat diet is bad. Yes, it's bad for someone that might have a high cholesterol. But if you have your metabolism is good and your cholesterol is not high, maybe a high-fat diet is good for you. But if you have high cholesterol or maybe genetic predisposition to high cholesterol, that might not be good for you. Now, if someone have an issue with the level of iron, usually it's an athletic active population or young women that lose blood every month. Again, you can eat it, receive it from the food, eat red meat. If you have high cholesterol, maybe you should use other source of the iron, because the red meat is not the best for you. So basically what we are trying to do in the personal nutrition community is a look at your blood, at your DNA. Now we are even looking at your data from your activity tracker. So we're looking at your Fitbit, and we can analyze your sleep data and your resting heart rate and activity. And based on all of that, give you the best recommendation that is good for you.
That's fascinating. So you do incorporate blood biomarkers, and that is, of course, something that changes. It's responsive to how you're living your life, but you also look at the DNA to see. I know that science is still unfolding, the whole science of what DNA says about, you know, what foods work best for us. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, I completely agree with you that DNA alone is not strong. And the reason for that is that the DNA giving you your potential. So basically, let's take the example of the glucose that we discussed a few minutes ago. I can tell you based on your DNA that you have a high predisposition to high glucose. Meaning, if I will compare you to someone that doesn't have high predisposition, you might have a higher glucose level. But it doesn't say that today you have high glucose. It just says that you have a higher risk to have high glucose. But if I'm combining it now with blood, I can come and tell you, Gene, not only that you have a high predisposition for high glucose, you also have high glucose. Or you have high predisposition to high glucose, but you have a normal glucose.
These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
And actually, there are a lot of different permutations for that. So in the case of you have high risk for high glucose, and you really have high glucose, maybe what we were telling you, hey, you got a bad cards. Now you need to play the best that you can do, because your cards are not good enough, but now it's your willpower to beat your odds and get the glucose down, okay? While someone that have a low predisposition for high glucose, meaning his genetics is very good, but he still have high glucose, then I can tell you, you got a great cards, but you're not playing them well. Meaning, just changing a bit of your lifestyle, you can significantly improve your glucose. So basically, by knowing the data from the genetics and combining it with the blood, we can give you a high definition understanding of what's happening inside your body. And then based on that, we can fit the best food for you, the best exercise, the best supplement, the best lifestyle changes, such as intermittent fasting, in order for you to be the best of yourself.
I love that. When did y'all start with Inside Tracker? How many years has your company been doing this?
So we are a bit more than 10 years. I started the company as a naive scientist. And at that time, when I came to potential partners, investor, everyone looked at me as a crazy guy.
And yeah, because 10 years ago, that did sound, no one was talking about this 10 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. And then with time now, it's like everyone is talking about it. We're working together with the biggest and the brightest in the academia, but also we are working with a very, very big companies that are trying to implement it to their customers. We are working with professional teams, professional athletic teams here in the U.S., we are working with the military. So there are a lot of excitement about InstaTracker, and also a lot of consumer, like the people that listen to this podcast. Basically, instead of looking at the availability of the food, and if you look today at the USDA catalog, there are like 8,000 different food items that are available to us. If you look at the average American in an average week, we are consuming around 20 food out of those 8,000. So basically, we have a universe of 8,000, and we are looking at a very small portion of this universe. So first, what we are trying to do at InstaTracker, we're trying to give you education that there are other kind of food that you can eat, but also guide you to the foods that are good for you. because you might eat, I don't know, a specific kind of nut, but that might not be the best for you. Maybe actually eat a specific kind of bean is something that will make you better.
So let's say a consumer wanted to participate in your services. Would they go to your website? How does the process work for a consumer who's interested? One of my listeners who's like, I need to figure this out. I need to do it. What would they do and how would the process be?
Yeah. It's very simple. They come to our website. It's insidetracker.com. There we have a few options. So we have a simple option. If you don't want or cannot invest too much money, you can take the data from your annual physical, the blood data, and upload it into our server. And then we'll give you recommendation based on that, what food should you eat, what exercise, what supplement, and so on. You can also come to us and they order a blood test if you want to, if you don't have a recent data, or if you want to go a bit more crazy and look at the biomarkers that are usually not tested by your physician. For example, cortisol, which is the stress hormone, a lot of the time it's not tested by the physician, or a testosterone is another one, and some marker specific for iron, and B12 is not always be tested. So you can come and pay, and then we'll give you a lab slip. You will go to a lab. The lab will take your blood, and then a few days later we'll receive the result. Similarly to the blood, we have a similar solution for DNA. You can upload your result if you've done tests via 23andMe or Ancestry. You can upload that. Or you can come and buy our DNA kit and do the test with us. Our mantra is we are not the device, we are the advice. If you need a device, you can buy it from us. But if you have the device already from different places, upload it, we'll charge you much, much less. But then you will get, if the data is good, you will get as good an output as someone that done the test with us. Our mantra is really to help everyone to live longer, better life. And if we can do it with data that is already available for you, do it.
I love that. So there are really a lot of different ways that people can take advantage of your services with their own blood tests, their own DNA reports. Like, for example, I had mine done through 23andMe years ago. So I could come to your website, upload my raw data, and it would generate a report for me.
Correct, yes.
Now I want to do the whole picture now. I'm like...
But I would recommend, again, as we discussed a few minutes ago, DNA is exciting, is interesting, but is a, I would call it infotainment. Basically, it's a give you information and a lot of entertainment, but it's not very actionable. But when you combine the DNA together with the blood, suddenly your eyes open and say, wow, that's amazing. So if you have your 23andMe data, that's great, upload it. We can give you some value. But the highest amount of value will come when you combine the DNA with the blood.
Well, that's now what I want to do. So that's going to be my goal, is to get that done, because that sounds, I would really love to have that data, especially since I've been doing intermittent fasting. It's been 6 years now, 5 years since I got to my goal size, but 6 years in general, just intermittent fasting, living it as a lifestyle. So I'd be very interested to see what my biomarkers said. So are y'all doing anything with the gut microbiome as well? Because I know that there's some people, I think, Tim Spector. Are you familiar with his work with the gut microbiome and personalized nutrition?
Yes.
I knew you would be. But are you doing anything with the gut as well?
Yeah, so what we are doing with the gut is we are looking at the data that can come from a blood test and from a DNA test. We are also reviewing the data about the microbiome, which is a very exciting field. Within the next 5 to 10 years, this data will be really actionable. But we strongly believe that it's not ready yet for the prime time for the average consumer, because it's really confusing yet, and the scientists still don't agree whether if you have more bacteria X or less bacteria Y, what does it mean for you in related to, should you eat more of that food or less of that food? So we are monitoring it very carefully, and we are working on extracting as much information as possible for the gut health based on the blood and DNA and your goals. But we are not there yet, in our opinion, to give you a recommendation of what food to eat based on that.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, because we really are still in the infancy of this science, because the whole idea that, hey, we have all these different things going on inside of us, like they just were able to map the microbiome or figure out what was in there or sequence it within the past 15 years, 12 years, something like that. It's not something that they even were able to do until recently. So yeah, the research is ongoing.
Yeah, it's ongoing. And again, I think that they are very exciting publication. There is not enough volume of them and the strength of those peer-reviewed scientific publication to come and say there is an action reaction. So we are monitoring it. Actually, I have a scientist that is really excited about that and is monitoring it every week. And we are reviewing the literature and keeping it in a standby until it will be ready to recommend intervention based on that.
Yeah, they're doing a study right now, the PREDICT study, that, or maybe PREDICT 2, that might be what it is. That was part of with the British Gut Project with Tim Spector. But a bunch of people in my intermittent fasting community have actually participated in it. So they're still gathering the data now to find. It's not ready yet. They're still gathering it. People are tracking their foods and eating the muffins. And it's fascinating to watch people in the community actually participate in the research study. So we're going to be following that study to see what they report. But I don't know how long it'll take for them to be done analyzing it because they're really working with lots and lots of people.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It really is exciting. And like I said, it's exciting that our community, like one person in one of the Facebook groups, we have these online support communities. One person's like, I just decided to participate in this PREDICT2 study. And so they were going through it. And then other people applied to be part of it as well. So we have a number of intermittent fasters, a good number, that are participating in the research, but it's all about figuring out what foods work best for your body. And I think they're looking at, like they were wearing continuous blood glucose monitors and seeing what happened after they ate certain foods and all sorts of things like that. So I will be following it over time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see the result. Yeah, it's really exciting.
It really is.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
So what advice would you give to somebody, you know, if they're interested in intermittent fasting for aging, what would you tell them?
I think that so far I haven't seen in the literature data that show that intermittent fasting is bad. Maybe it will come, but so far I haven't seen it. There is, as we discussed at the beginning of the discussion, there is a lot of information that show that intermittent fasting is good for longevity. Again, mainly in a model organism, but hopefully it's also good for us. And also, if you think about our environment today, comparing to the environment of the human being a few, let's say, hundreds of years ago, we haven't had a refrigerator next to our bedroom that we could go at night and, drink milk or eat yogurt. We basically had to eat whenever we found the food or the food was available. I would say that the current situation that you eat without any barrier and you eat all the day is not the normal. Normal situation is that you have a period of feeding and period of fasting. So I would say, yeah, go into that. Again, you need to realize what is the best fit for you. Is it every other day? Some people it's easier because then one day they can continue exactly in what they're doing. The other day they are just fasting. Or there are some that are doing a 2-5 or doing what you and me are doing, basically doing the intermittent fasting daily and or time restriction feeding, which is for me and a lot of people that I know is the easiest way. Sounds like the benefits are still good. But what I would recommend them is also to monitor what they are eating in the or what they are consuming during the feeding period, and that's maybe connect us to the personalized nutrition part that we discussed before. It's very important to know what you feed your body. I see the food as basically the oil or gasoline that you feed your body. And hopefully everyone sees himself as a Tesla or a Porsche and not a Kia Rio. So because of that, let's feed ourselves with the best gasoline that we can.
The premium fuel. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But the premium fuel for Eugene might be different than mine. And let's understand what is the premium fuel for us. By the way, we are the most important investment in our life. So let's invest in the important things. So let's feed ourselves in the right food, give ourselves the right rest, and so on. So that's combining the intermittent fasting with maybe personalized nutrition. Let's do both, and then hopefully we'll live longer. But most importantly, we will continue to, we'll be able to see our grandchildren and the grand-grandchildren graduating from college, which is what everyone wants to see.
Absolutely. So I'm just curious, what foods work best for you? How do you eat?
Yeah, so I am struggling a bit with a slightly high glucose. Again, it's we haven't discussed insulin tracker too deeply, but we have, if you look at glucose or any other marker, you have the normal zone and you have out of the normal. So basically the physician give for everyone 65 to 99 level of glucose is normal, and everything below and above is out of normal. We also develop an optimal zone based on your age and gender and sometimes ethnicity and athletic activity. We are giving you the optimal zone for you. So my glucose is a bit higher than my optimal zone. So what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to take it down. So for example, intermittent fasting is good for that. I also eat every morning when I'm breaking my fast, I'm consuming oatmeal that helped me to basically allow the glucose to absorb slowly because oatmeal have a lot of fiber. I also try to consume as much as I can beans because beans are also good for the glucose. I also try to consume as much as I can berries, blueberries and raspberries because, again, they are high in fiber. And I'm consuming some supplements because I know, for example, that my vitamin D, it's very hard for me to get it from the sun. I got a InstaTracker recommend to me the amount of vitamin D that I'm consuming, and now it's very stable. I see that my B12, vitamin B12, is not in the optimal zone always, so I'm supplementing with a small amount of vitamin B12. I'm also monitor now with an activity tracker my sleep, and I'm trying to find what are the best way to improve the quality of the sleep, and again, we have a pilot study now with an Insta tracker on activity tracker, so we can give you a recommendation based on your Fitbit, what is the best intervention for you to have a better night's sleep tomorrow or today. So I'm toying with my food and my lifestyle a lot. I also work on some exercise intervention, so I used to have high inflammation. So I'm doing yoga, and I see that that's helped me to decrease the inflammation. I'm using several different tools to optimize my, basically, biomarkers.
I love that. But you have access to them, so you know how they respond, so you can tweak. And that's just really powerful. The information is there. You're like, oop, my sleep has not been on point. I can work on sleep for now. I love that. So what are some of the recommendations, just general recommendations for improving sleep? Because I know that's something that people struggle with. I'm going through menopause. I'm 50. And so women have a lot of troubles with sleep around this age. But just in general, what are some of the things that y'all recommend?
There are some general sleep recommendation. We call it sleep hygiene. Like a very simple recommendation, the temperature of the room. That's very important, that it won't be too high or too low. For me, I by trial and error, I go to 68 degrees. So I know that 68 degrees is the right temperature for me. I also like to be covered by blankets. Some people don't like it. Some people like it. Another important recommendation related to sleep hygiene is the room should be as dark as possible. A lot of us don't have it. So it's mainly not to wake up too early, especially in the summer. So try to make the room as dark as possible. A lot of us are using
I don't know, having a TV in the room, or having the smartphone next to their bed, next to the bed, or watching TV 2 seconds before they are going to sleep. So that's the blue light is not so good. So there are some. First of all, I don't have a TV in my room, and the bedroom is for sleep and other activity, but definitely not for TV.
Not for television. There you go.
and my phone is in my office, and not in next to my. If someone really need me, you can wait for a morning. So that's another example of how to manage the sleep. Also, some people are exercising too late, and that's basically increase the adrenaline, and then it's hard for them to fall asleep. Some people eat too late, and that's also, don't eat too late, because what happens is that your gut is still active, and then your heart rate is getting higher, and then it's hard for you to fall asleep. So there are a lot of different recommendation to improve sleep. If you, for example, have a Fitbit or any other activity tracker, you can see also what are your specific problems. So it's not only the length of the time that you are sleeping, but also how is your REM sleep, deep sleep, how many times a night you wake up. So there are a lot of things that getting into that, and you can even improve those subset of sleep based on knowing what is the problem. Then we can subscribe to you an intervention that you can do in order to improve it.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And so what I love is that at Inside Tracker, y'all work with the data that people have from their sleep. And you say, all right, here's what's happening with your sleep. And based on that, this is what we want you to do.
Correct. And you can look at, also, I think that it's very encouraging to see what is your best. So some people can have, 20% of their night can be a deep sleep. For me, I know that my average is around 12%. So every night that I have more than 12%, I'm happy because it's more than 12%. It's more than my average. So you can look, because you have so many data points on from activities tracker, like sleep and resting heart rate, you can start having what is the normal and optimal for you. Well, in the blood, because we are not testing you every second, we're testing you every 3 to 6 months, it's much harder to do that. So we can look at you based on the population, based on someone in your age and gender, but you can also look at you based on you and compare and do what we call an experiment of N of one, just you, and then try to improve you based on your data.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And it's really important for people to keep that in mind. You are an N equals one. It's your study. And the more science we have, the more we're realizing that we are all different. And so one size fits all, what to eat, when to eat it, how to eat it, when to exercise, what exercise to do, when to sleep, all of that. We just really need to focus on how does my body respond when I make these changes?
Absolutely.
Well, I love it. We are almost out of time. So I like to end, and I kind of already have asked you this, so but I like to end by asking guests, what would you tell someone just starting off with intermittent fasting? Or is there anything you wish you knew when you first started?
So I think that what I will tell someone that is starting intermittent fasting, that it's, I think that it's great. In my opinion, it's the best intervention that's available for us today, at least to hope to live longer, better life. And what is really exciting about that is that it's natural and simple. So it's not like you're not taking, a lot of people now taking drugs or specific small molecules, because some data in the literature saying that it might be good in a model organism. This intervention, even if it won't work, it's not bad. Okay, so I haven't seen any side effect of that yet, and I don't think that it will be, because basically we are not supposed to eat so much as we're eating today. So I would say that's the best intervention that you can have. It might not be easy at the first few weeks, as we discussed before, especially if you're doing every other day. But after that, it's get into your routine. When it's in your routine, it's much easier than all the other diets, because other diets, you should eat 50 gram of that and 2 liters of that. That's hard. Coming saying I'm starting to eat at 11 and stop consuming food at 6, it's easy. It's like literally 2 points. Start and stop, and that's it.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. And I know that everyone is going to be interested in checking out your company, Inside Tracker, and finding out more about how we can support our own personalized goals.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jean. It was a really pleasure, and I wish good luck to all of your audience with their intermittent fasting endeavor.
Thank you. Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.